been good to anybody in this house. Let him know how much you love him right now. We love you, Jesus. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, he's a good God. He's a good God. Amen. Remain standing with me this evening. I'm going to go to the word of the Lord for a little while. Just got a burden on my heart for somebody here tonight. Find yourself in a season or a place in life that may not be your favorite. But I want you to know that God does not waste seasons. Everything that you find yourself in has purpose. Has purpose. Luke chapter 7. I've just kind of got a launching point, and we'll go from there. Verse number 36. We welcome all of our guests. Thank you for being here. We're honored tonight to have two gentlemen. They've been working on our evangelist quarters, remodeling it. And Saul and Shorty. And I'm sorry, Shorty, I don't know your name other than Shorty. But we love you, and we're glad that you're here and you're working for the Lord. Amen. So we're honored to have them here. I'm sure you'll be seeing more of them. Amen. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat, the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. For the sake of time, we're going to skip down. Verse 44, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil. Thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is given, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Find no record in this text where conversation happened between Jesus and this woman, other than when the Lord spoke to her and said, your sins are forgiven. Nevertheless, a conversation did take place, but it was not with what she said. It was what she did. Amen. And I want to preach for a little while from this thought, the language of tears. The language of tears. Father, I need the help of the Holy Ghost over the next few moments. There are people here today, God, that the only language they've been speaking for a little while is through their tears. And I'm asking for the Holy Ghost to speak to them. I'm asking, oh God, for your word to have free course and liberty to minister to each and every circumstance and every heart. The mighty and powerful name of Jesus, we give you praise and glory. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord? Amen. Lord bless you as you're seated. Life is such a unique thing. Life is more than waking up in the morning and going about your day, coming back in evening time and settling down and going to bed. Life is not measured necessarily in minutes. Life is measured in moments. And we could all agree today that our lives have been filled with highs, only to be met with unimaginable lows. The writer said plainly, to everything there is a season. Seasons change like the wind. We love the seasons of joy, and we love the seasons of happiness and the seasons of plenteous. We love those seasons where everything seems to be going our way. We love those seasons when we pray and it seems like God is poised over the balcony of heaven and he meets those needs immediately. Those are the seasons that we love. When we go to prayer and it's almost effortless that words are formed in our mouth and we can articulate what we feel and we can articulate what we desire and we can put words together. And I can tell you today that God is bigger than our minds could ever imagine. When you consider today how many people have ever existed on this earth, from generation to generation, God knew every single person. God not only knew their end from their beginning, he knew how many hairs were on their head. And those hairs did not just exist, but those hairs were numbered. God knew their life. God knew their coming and their going. God understood the desires of their heart. And just like those of old that went before us, God knows the same details about our life. God understands what we're going through. God understands the seasons that seem like we're climbing insurmountable mountains. God understands the grief at times that overwhelms us. Can we just let our facade down tonight and be real? Because we've all been in those places when words failed to express what we were really feeling on the inside. There's times when we can express with words what we're facing. But then there's times when we just sit there and the only thing we can get out is a sigh. My friend, here's the beauty of God. Is even though a word may not be formed out of our mouth, God understands what the heart is trying to express. God understands the weight at times that we may carry, but we don't know just how to express it. But can we get a little deeper than a sigh? And can we all agree today that there's times when not even a sigh could express what we're feeling? But a trickle of a tear forms in the corner of our eyes. And with that trickle of a tear that begins to run down our face, in one drop of a tear, it speaks more than what 1 hour of prayer can say with the English language. When God sees the anguish of a soul, and that tear that begins to cry off our cheek, maybe at night laying your head on a pillow, and that tear runs down in the crevice of your ear, can I tell you that the language of that tear has a way of reaching through the darkest of nights, and that tear grabs the attention of a loving loving God, and all of heaven stands at attention when God sees one of his children begin to cry. I'm preaching tonight to people who have walked through some of life's darkest valleys, and try as you might to express what you were feeling on the inside. There are times when all you could do is cry. There are times when all you could do is weep. You went to prayer and you had the best of intentions, but you couldn't get words to form out of your mouth because the anguish of your soul was too great. I've come tonight to tell you that God hears your tears, and that you haven't wasted your time in prayer, and that you haven't wasted your time with God, because your tears are a language that speak louder than what your words could ever say. And the enemy may try to mess with your mind and tell you that your tears ain't doing nothing in God's eyes. I beg to differ with you tonight, because I got proof of a text tonight where nowhere a woman never said a word, but her sins were forgiven. All she did was weep in the presence of In the setting of our text, the Bible says that Jesus went to a Pharisee's house. Now, we know that the Pharisees were a bunch of hypocrites. And in the midst of this bunch of hypocrites comes, the Bible says, a sinner. It didn't say a woman came. It narrowed it down. A sinner. Not necessarily someone even trying to do right, but someone that wanted to get to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that she made her way to the Lord, and she had this box of ointment. And you got to put this mental picture in place. Jesus is sitting, maybe at a table, maybe he was eating, nonetheless he was sitting. And she comes and she stands at his feet behind him. She was too ashamed to approach him from the front, lest she lock eyes with purity. So she said, I'm going to come up from behind him. Have you ever been in that season, that place of life where you didn't even feel like you were worthy to even fellowship with a pure Savior? Maybe you had made some mistakes along life's ways, and you felt like that silver-tongued prophet where you said, woe is me, for I am unclean. Let's be real tonight. There are times we didn't even want to raise our head and look up. And she comes from behind, and she stands at his feet. I don't know what she was thinking. Maybe she was thinking, I'm wasting my time. My life is a mess. I've done too much wrong. I've made too many mistakes. What am I even trying to do this for? But she stood there, and she couldn't even get words out. The only thing that she could do was cry. The only thing she could do was weep puddles of tears on the feet of that loving Savior. And she grabbed that hair and she began to dry his feet. And after she dried those feet, she put, all she could do was put that ointment on those feet and anointed those feet. What in the world was she doing? I'll tell you what she was doing. She was speaking a language that only God could understand. She was speaking a language of the heart. It wasn't about how articulate she was. It wasn't about how well she formed words. It was about God. I've got an audience of one, and I'm going to let my tears speak.
speak for me. I've come tonight to tell someone, don't you be ashamed to let tears roll down your cheek. Don't you be ashamed to let your heart speak in a language that only God can understand. Because you may not think you're doing anything, but God is reading your heart with your tears. I tell you, tears say a lot of things. You read this book and you'll find instances where tears was the only thing that was adequate. Tears express sorrow, pain, and grief. What about Peter? God's right-hand man. Yet when he denied the Lord, Bible said Peter wept bitterly. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm right there with you. I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to give you everything I got. I'm going to do my best. Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee. He may sift you as wheat. Peter, I've prayed for thee that your faith would fail not. What in the world was Peter thinking? What in the world was going through his mind that brought him to the point when he looked at the Lord after he denied him and he locked eyes with Jesus? Maybe his tears were saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint you. Don't give up on me. Can I preach to someone tonight who has wept those tears that have said, God, I'm so sorry. God, I never meant to disappoint you. God, don't you give up on me. I'm preaching to someone tonight who the enemy has messed with your mind and said, you've done too much. You've made too many mistakes. God's never going to love you like he once did. I'm telling you, when you weep those tears, you've caught God's eyes. And God's saying, I'm not giving up on you. I still love you. I've been praying for you. I've got mercy for you. Maybe your tears have reached up to heaven and they're expressing repentance. Maybe you find yourself like David being confronted by that prophet with that pointy finger in his face saying, David, thou art the man. Maybe the Holy Ghost has smote your heart at times, and you have asked God to forgive you, but felt like your words were falling short. So you find yourself like David, stretched out on the floor, weeping bitter tears, praying, God, forgive me. Let me tell you, the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. There's a place at an altar for tears to shed. There's a place at an altar where our face gets buried and we weep over disappointing a loving Savior. And we weep over the wrong that we've done. Let me tell you what concerns me is we want to feel good more than we want to change. And repentance is more than, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. There's a place at an altar where our tears flow down Calvary's hill. And it takes more than 5 minutes. But it's a place where our tears turn that dirt into mud. And we cry a puddle of our sorrow over our sins. And we're like David, where we weep over what we've done wrong. Tears express repentance. Tears express desire. Because there was a woman named Hannah wanted a baby so bad. Finally, she wept. She wept. The Bible said that she tried to talk, but couldn't even get words out of her mouth. She was in such a stupor, in travail, that Eli thought she was drunk. Have you ever been in that place where the desire of your heart was not expressed with words, but it was just flowing with tears? Tears. Preaching to people tonight, I know where you're walking. And I know that you've come in these services time and time again, and you've done your best to make everybody think that I'm doing okay and that I got my act together. And the enemy's tried to make you ashamed of your weeping. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need to be ashamed to weep, because it's those tears that are catching God's eyes. It's those tears pouring out of the crevices of your heart that God's looking at, and those tears are saying more than your words could ever say. David, Ziklag was supposed to be a place of safety. Now your place of safety has been compromised by the enemy. They took your wives and they took your children. They robbed your present and they robbed your future. The Bible says that they wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever sobbed until it hurt? Have you ever wept until your stomach muscles hurt so bad because you were pouring out your soul before God? I'm talking tonight to people that you've laid in your bed on puddles of tears, wondering if my circumstance would ever change. Wondering if my season would ever end. Am I going to be stuck in the night? I thought about it today. A lunar eclipse. There's people that you've been living in lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, whatever the heck it is. I don't even know what it is. But when the night covers the sun and your day was supposed to be the brightest, is the darkest. And you've lived in an eclipse for far too long. And you're searching for any hope, for any crevice of light. Hear me tonight, ma'am. You hear me, sir. The Bible does tell us, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Your Bible still says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I've come tonight to tell you it's perfectly fine for you to weep, but it's not fine for you to live in mourning. There's a difference in weeping and in mourning. I can weep and still have joy. I can weep and still wake up and know who holds my tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with weeping. There's nothing wrong with tears. There's nothing wrong with letting your tears speak for you. But I will tell you, it's not the desire or the will of God for us to live in a continual state of mourning, because the Bible tells us that He wants to take our ashes. riches and give us joy, that he wants to take our mourning and our tears and give us happiness and give us dancing. When you let those tears speak, you've also got to adjust your mind and realize that God never gave tears. Tears is an extension of sin. Tears is an extension of our humanity. And I can weep, but I can also worship in the midst of my weeping. I can also rejoice in the midst of my pain.
Let me tell you something. There was no weeping in the Garden of Eden. There was no tears in the Garden of Eden. It was bliss. It was beauty. It was relationship. But when sin entered the picture, oh God help me, Revelation's flowing right now. There were two trees in the garden that they were supposed to, that one was they was not supposed to eat of. And one was the tree of life. But the one that they weren't supposed to eat of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything changed, right? What did God do? God help me, I feel it right now. What did God do? He put an angel to guard that tree and said, they can't come eat this tree, because if they eat of the tree of life in their current condition, then they will forever be like this. So I can't let them eat of the tree of life, because there'll be no hope. But you hear me, hear me, hear me. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to eat of the tree of life after we have been changed, so we will not be stuck in this current condition. My God, what's going to happen when we get to the other side? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Put Revelation 21 and 4. After we are changed, after we go back to what God designed us to be, after the humanity is dealt with, this is what the Bible says, and God shall wipe away. Oh, tears. The reason we weep down here is because we're having to carry loads that God never designed us to carry. And we get to the place where we don't know how to handle it. And it spills over. What do you think Gethsemane was about? Is Jesus the humanity? He's God in flesh. But he was fixing to go through a season. And the Bible says he wept and he prayed until his sweat turned into drops of blood. Because the flesh was fixing to go through something that only tears could express. But when we're changed to what God intended for us to be, he's going to say, the language of tears is over. And there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. If all God did was wipe away the tears and not deal with the things that caused it, we'd still cry. He said, I'm going to wipe away every tear, and then I'm going to deal with the things that cause you to cry. I'm going to get rid of death. Death causes tears. I'm going to get rid of sorrow.
Sorrow causes tears, crying, pain, and then I'm going to wipe everything away. Friend, heaven is going to be a place that you never imagine, because we don't know what it's like not to cry. We don't know what it's like not to hurt. We don't know what it's like not to have pain. Stand with me right now. I'm preaching to people tonight that you've been stuck in a perpetual season of tears. But the hope of the whole story is, musicians, you come, is that God understands clearly what your tears are saying. When all you do is come and cry. I've went to prayer at times, and I never said a word. All I could do was cry. And cry. And cry. If you'll be honest tonight, you've been in that same place. Maybe you weren't at an altar, but you turned wherever you were at into an altar. Maybe you turned a steering wheel into an altar. Maybe you turned a pillow into an altar. Maybe you turned a kitchen sink into an altar. You just wept. You wept. You wept. God hears your tears. God, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I know. Just let your tears talk for you. Tears are an extension of the Spirit. And the Bible says that God knows what's going on in the Spirit. This is going to be a different altar call, because this altar call is not going to be for everybody. Normally you're going to hear me say, let's all come. I'm not saying that tonight, because not everybody's in the same season. I'll tell you who this altar call's for. It's going to take you being honest tonight. This altar call's for people who's in a season of tears, where you don't know what to pray. You've tried and tried and tried, and you feel like your words aren't working. We're going to let our tears talk for us tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's not a house of judgment. I'm telling you, I've never, in all of my years of preaching, done an altar call like this. But we're going to let our tears touch God tonight. If you're here and you want to come, and all you know to do is lay on an altar and just weep, I'm inviting you right now. You don't have to say a word at this altar call, but I wouldn't waste it, because this altar call is tailor-made for people who you've been walking through some of life's toughest times. You're going to turn this place into an altar of weeping, and you're just going to let your tears speak volumes for you tonight. You don't have to say a word, my friend. If this is not you and you're not in that season, that's perfectly fine. You can sit where you're at and you can pray. There's no pressure. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here to minister to some people who you've been trying to carry it all by yourself. I'm telling you, it's time to weep for a little while. It's time to open your soul and just let God read what your tears are trying to say as they sing whatever they feel led to sing.